September 2, 2020, it's a lot from Pedro Show.
Thank you. explanation. Don't need your doc's excuse.
Don't need no explanation.
Life passes by in a flash.
And you miss it.
Now you see it, now you don't.
So come and get it.
Watch for Pedro Show. First show of September. Happy Wednesday. Still quit quarantino mode, so Brother Matt, the Love Grotto, Pleasure Point, a couple miles south of here, but I'm not totally man alone. Once again, those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention has made it possible for me to come together and have Brian Jasper Hull aboard. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm very...
You got all loud. Everybody does this shit. People, you know, I always check the volume with my guests before we go on the air. And it's just like gigs. You play real soft at the sound check, but when the gig comes on, the full Monty.
Well, I'll back up slightly.
No, it's all right. It's all right.
Yeah, so I'm very excited to be here.
You know there's that Who song, Won't Get Fooled Again. It happens to me every week. Wishful thinking, Brother Pete. We start off the show with something pretty rare. It might have been John Coltrane's first recording. This is when he was with Dizzy Gillespie's band. He's probably still on the alto, maybe. But it's a radio broadcast from 1951. It's Congo Blues, John Coltrane with Dizzy Gillespie's band. Then we had Brian Jasper Hull with Come and Get It. Now, Brian, please tell me your earliest musical recollection.
Well, I've had music, you know, in my house and my life, from a very early age.
Well, try to remember what's the oldest little memory lurking in your memory attic.
Well, I have memories of, putting records on and, you know, dancing around, like throwing on, it's kind of funny. Hello Dolly with Louis Armstrong singing and dancing around to that. And
Satch.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Brian, where was this?
Well, when I was born out in Inglewood, California.
Ah, Hollywood Park.
Yeah.
Fabulous Forum.
I think it was the hospital at that time. I don't think it's there anymore, but I think it was right across the street from the Forum. And my dad was in the Air Force, so we ended up going to Taipei, Taiwan, and I don't have a lot of memories of that. I mean, I have, Super 8 films that my dad filmed. I remember one where I'm walking around with a hammer and just dancing and waving it like a conductor or something. So I think I was,
Now, these weren't your records, right? These were your parents?
Yes.
Now, were they players or just listeners?
My mother played piano, and so when we were there, I remember my father told me that he ordered a piano from Japan and had it sent down to Taiwan. So, and I actually still have that piano, which is cool.
Now, did you learn how to play? Did they ask you to take lessons?
I never did. I don't know what it was, but I wasn't drawn to piano. But my dad had a little Yamaha acoustic guitar, and that attracted me more. And so he taught me a few chords, a few basic folk chords. And, that's kind of, where the, songwriting started happening.
What about school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
Some experience, singing in like a church choir.
Yeah.
And then, about junior high school, I picked up trumpet and was playing trumpet, in the school band and did that for a couple years.
Is still in Taipei?
Well, no, we moved around a lot. I ended up in, Texas, the Dallas, Fort Worth area, Arlington. And then eventually moved up to Denver.
Colorado.
Yeah.
Okay. So can you tell me the first record you bought with your own money?
If I remember correctly, it was a Michael Jackson album. I think it was like Thriller.
Okay. And what about the first gig you went and saw?
off the wall, I think. First gig I went to see, well, the first one that was a big concert that I went to was actually to see your band, the Minutemen, open up for Black Flag at the Rainbow Music Hall in Denver.
Denver, Barry Fay.
Yes.
Barry Fay used to run the rock and roll scene. I think he ended up shooting himself to death.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely haven't heard anything about him for a long time.
Yeah, the guy who does my gigs in Denver, Doug Kaufman, long time, back to Firehose days. And actually, he's from Ann Arbor, but Barry Fay kind of, what do you say, mentor as far as promoting, getting shows together. But he was from the older days. You know that gig, let me tell you about that gig. We were on tour with Black Flag, and the gig before that, the night before, was Minneapolis. So that was 17-hour hell ride. We had to leave right after the gig to make the sound check for that gig. And you guys in Denver are a mile up, so the air's a little thinner.
Yeah, that must have been a rude awakening.
Yeah, but look, we were on tour, first time, big-ass tour with Black Flag. We had just been to Europe with them, and now we're doing the U.S., little things like that didn't matter, man. It didn't matter. We were just glad to do it. No belly aching for me. What about so you're doing the trumpet in junior high, but what about after school? Because you're also doing the acoustic guitar, right? So do you have a band with your buddies, like a garage band or a basement or bedroom band?
Yeah. So a little later in high school, you know, I tried out for a jazz band, and I wasn't a very good sight reader, and so they didn't pick me up for the jazz band. So I got frustrated, and I just ended up quitting trumpet. I probably shouldn't have quit, but at any rate, started to listen to some punk, you know, and I was the skater at the time, and I met a guy from California down the road who was a skater, and we met down at a little half pipe or in a quarter pipe, and you know, he was pretty hip to a lot of stuff, and I remember him coming over to my house with a big stack of records, you know, just kind of introducing me to a lot of the bands from like Oxnard and
Nardcore.
Yeah, Nardcore, like the Faction and Aggression.
Ill Repute,
yeah, and
Fallout
all of that.
13.
Dr. No, you know.
Dr. No.
Yeah, and so that was really cool. And, you know, we started talking about maybe we should get a band together. His name is Rich Jacobs. You might know him. He's an artist. And I know he does a benefit with you normally every year, but I guess with the virus this year, they had to do it virtually. But it's for an elementary school art program out in California.
You're talking about, Ritz.
Jacobs.
No, but the name of the school. It's an elementary
school. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure the name of the school.
I think it's in Placentia, and it's called Ritz. And, I've done about three or four. Tim Kerr's a big part of that.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And Ray Barbie's done it a couple times with me. Okay. And I probably know Rich, but my name, you know, the good thing about Alzheimer's, you're always meeting new people.
That's funny. Well, anyway, so even back then he was a really dedicated visual artist, always drawing and he was playing guitar. And at that time, I hadn't really gotten very serious about guitar, but I was like, hey, I could sing and I'd be into it. And we found another guy who was a guitarist who was really into playing Hendrix, but we told him, hey, you're going to be the bassist. And then we met a guy from Berkeley, California, named Devin, who was, had been into Fang, you know, and it was kind of into Motorhead and some of the, you know, speed metal stuff, and formed a band called Atomic Dilemma. So it was definitely a garage band. We were playing in Devin's garage and, you know, just eventually worked our way up where we got some gigs with...
Tell me about the first gig there, Brian.
Oh, wow. I don't know what the first one was, but I know... one of the first ones we opened up for the band 7 Seconds.
Yeah, Skeno.
Yeah, and like, you know, we had been rehearsing and the bass amp was so bad that it would like, it was a bad connection and it would sort of like go out and our bassist Pat would have to like kick it to get, so it would stop shorting out. And I had nightmares about that, like, oh, we're gonna, you know, have this thing shorten out in the middle of the gig. But it was pretty impressive, you know, to be open up for guys like that that were touring bands.
Now, how'd you feel personally? Were you scared?
I think so. But, you know, once we got up there and started playing, you know, it felt great.
But, Brian, you were the front man.
Yes.
So that's a lot of weight on the shoulder for the first time.
Yeah, it was, you know, we eventually ended up playing some pretty big shows, you know. We opened up for all, you know, the Descendants group. And then we played, trying to think of some of the other ones, I think, with Aggression.
Did you guys ever record?
We recorded a 7-inch.
You should have flowed me some of the music. Look, speaking of which, I want to play some Metal Like Jivin'.
To a billboard. It's not half as wide and not as many people stop and stare. But you might have a greater sense of liberation. Why shopping mall grand openings ushered in with ribbon-cutting ceremonies? Like christening a ship for some noble expedition. Why would the beady artists travel incognito and work ungodly hours traveling through the murky shadows? Is this the kind of art we're encouraging in the 21st century? Oh, 21st century. Inquiring minds would like to know. Tell me, do we really need to know more about the sordid private life of Michael Jackson? Or is this just a quintessential distraction, pulling the public's eyes away from what's really going down? What's going down, y'all?
Show that you will find full noise. on a lollipop. Wreck the Backstreet Boys in bubblegum. Cause if you're looking for nourishment, you might as well be sucking your thumb. Down off the billboards, and I am on the run from this peaceful noise.
Thank you. Thank you. round, round stone in gutter felt lighter. School bus arrived. Stone remained in center of palm. Pink sky through window, oval cloud. Felt stone in palm and recalled a father who held a mug made of gold. Wallpaper in dining room, a forest to wonder. Counted people on sidewalk. Girl pulling wagon under freeway overpass. Stone cold in hand, girl cold in air, gold forest.
mystery, mystery. A street called Mystery, 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 Mystery. A street called Mystery. What street they call Mystery? What was the street they call Mystery?
Visual Noise from Metal Ark Jivin' start that off. Then some brand new stuff from the Disciple label. Great stuff out of England. Well, the label is other people from all around the world. Model Home, which I guess DC. crossed with His Name Is Alive, Detroit. Candy Colored Dreams. Bogdan Rosinski with Samurai Masubitsu. Then Black Lodge, Do Not Go Gently. A few with Dream. But that goes way back. First album, I think. Mr. Tom has a new Tobacco album coming Halloween. Or the day before. Headless to Headless. And then Mashi Nguyen. Lady Burmese background. She was big in the SoCal scene. If you ever hear this New Alliance compilation called Turds from Space, that's her doing poetry then. And this is just from about 2 weeks ago, poems that she was reading. The Hawk after that from Iowa City with Victory Over the Ornery Night. Bullets of Balloon out of Spokanistan. Or little town of Methlehem, I hear they like to call it. Cattle Fire. And then finally, Meadowlark Jiving with A Street Called Mystery. So what happens with your atomic...
The Atomic Dilemma?
Did it end up a dilemma?
Well, you know, it was an interesting band because, you know, we all were very different. And it got to the point where two of us were graduating from high school and, you know, and I was thinking about heading to Texas to go to school. And, it was almost like, we were just growing apart, but, for a while it lasted, it was really cool. And, we were part of a thing called, the Colorado Crew. There was a guy named Rob Medina who was real active in the scene, and he got this record label together called Donut Crew Records. And he did a series called the Colorado Crew. And we were a part of that, got our first recording called TV Addict onto that, little 7-inch. So, you know, it was a cool, way to get started with writing songs and sort of experimenting.
So what happens to you guys music? What happens to you musically after this band is kaput?
Well, stayed in touch with Rich over the years, but then when I went down to Texas, I didn't really think that I was going to start a band. And I remember there was a Bob Dylan concert up in Dallas, and we were in Waco, Texas. And so we had tickets to this Dylan show, and one of the guys who was supposed to go to the show bailed out at the last minute. And so this young freshman named Bill showed up, and he hears me playing around on a guitar, you know, at this gathering before we're going to drive up the 2 hours up to Dallas. And he's like, "Sounds good, man. We got to start a band." And wow. I was like, "No, man, you know, I'm just dinking around. I'm not really serious about it." And, but he was insistent, you know, he's like, "Come on, at least let's get together and see if we can, you know, pull some songs together." So we ended up, meeting within the first 3 hours that we played music together. I think we had three tunes that we were sort of cobbling together. And he's like, "This is working great, man. Let's find a rhythm section." And it was one of those things that everything just happened really fast. And we started this band called Ezra's Pound Cake. And a little reference to Ezra Pound.
You're the poet.
Yeah. And, it was crazy how fast it happened. Within like 2.5 weeks, we were like doing our first gig.
Well, where'd you find your rhythm section?
Well, he met a couple of guys down the hall from him, a drummer and a bassist. And, the drummer was from Austin, Texas, a guy named Jim Eisenbeck, and a bass player named Matt Haley. And they turned out to be really solid. I mean, it was kind of miraculous, actually. So it was like, you know, usually you expect to go through months of practice before you can do anything worth a shit. But we were actually, you know, putting together some good tunes. And I remember that first gig playing and having people come up to us after the show, just like, that was great, man. That was amazing. And it was just such a powerful feeling. And I think that really hooked me on the idea, like, hey, you know, I can do this.
Now, did you guys record?
We did. Yeah, we recorded.
Now, why didn't you give me some of that music? It's okay. Don't worry, Brian.
I'll send it. But
like with the Atomic Dilemma, it was probably really Econo recording, right? Was it about the same way with Ezra Pound Cake?
Well, you know, we kind of stepped it up a notch with Ezra's Pound Cake, and we went down to a studio down in Austin. It was called Austin Recording Studio, and at that time we were recording with on, you know, reel to reel. So it was a really nice sound, actually. I mean, it was. We recorded an album called Digging Where There's Roots, and you know, when I look back at it and listen to that recording, I still am pretty happy about the sound quality. I love that reel to reel sound.
Well, I wish I could have heard it. But did you guys go out and tour?
Well, you know, on a limited basis, you know, we went out to play in Memphis. There was the music festival up there. And then eventually the band ended up, we played in Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas, got up to Colorado, started playing around Colorado, took a tour where we played out, I can't remember which town it was, and somewhere again in Tennessee, and then back to Texas. So we got, you know, a little bit of traveling in.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious, because usually when people put out a record, they kind of tour on it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we got a chance to travel some. Yeah. It wasn't a full blown U.S. tour, but
no, but like an Austin gig, a Houston gig, a Dallas gig, a San Antonio gig.
We did play down in Austin, yeah, and did a fair amount of playing around in Texas, yeah.
Yeah, because it's almost 900 miles across. It's a big state.
It's a huge state.
It's like California sideways. I know about it, but exactly. You know, but a lot of good places to play. Of course, Austin's the big music town, but I've had good gigs in all those towns. Okay, look, we're at the end of the first hour. Watch for Pedro Show, special guest Brian Jasper Hull. Hold tight for hour two. September 2, 2020, it's the second hour of the Watch for Pedro Show.
Fresh roll of scenes out of the gate. Pops tied me down and set me straight. Said, you got to know, ain't another way to go. Wanna make it out there into the world. Gotta live it large, son. Live it large.
What you gonna do?
I'm gonna live it large.
What you gonna do?
I'm gonna live it large.
What you gonna do?
Well, but nowadays I sense some gloom. In this room, is it just me, or is it plain to see? Checking in the papers, reading in the news, everybody got the blues.
Goodly all,
do not do me all.
Goodly all,
do not do me all.
Goodly all,
do not do me all.
Goodly all.
Live it large.
What you gonna do?
gonna live it large.
What you gonna do?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Well, am I just
am I
trust
just myself?
Going through the motions of what's
going through the motions
cool.
of what's supposed to be cool.
A Cadillac car.
A Cadillac car.
And a Cuban cigar.
And a Cuban cigar.
Sometimes a super hip hop player can turn out to be a fool.
With all his troubles, toils, and strife,
I try to make romance.
I try to make romance.
And this apocalyptic
game,
catastrophe is my middle name.
But love just the same.
Scoot-a-dee-o,
doot-a-dee-o,
scoot-a-dee-o,
doot-a-dee-o,
scoot-a-dee-o,
doot-a-dee-o,
scoot-a-dee-o,
doot-a-dee-o,
scoot-a-dee-o,
doot-a-dee-o,
scoot-a-dee-o.
Well, I've been doing some thinking about the state of the world today, and I believe there's gonna have to come a change somehow, someway. 'Cause there's too much money in the hands of far too few, that's what I say. Distribution of wealth, it just ain't fair. We need to talk about these billionaires. Got legions of people with no clean water to drink. We got millions and millions of folks living right on the brink. Now how many boats and how many planes does one man need? You know this shit's insane. Meanwhile, people are living on less than a dollar a day. The whole thing stinks. It's a travesty is all you can say. Billionaires, billionaires, while millions starve, they're buying shares and counting their money in their 65-room house. With a mouse. Now that much money keeps making more money, just the interest on the money. All the people, it ain't funny how there's so many people all around the world ain't got enough to eat. 'Cause any kind of system that leads to this is surely obsolete. So let's think about what to do, my friend. The situation's untenable, you know it's got to end. It's got to go. We're gonna have to find a better way and let a new wind blow. We just can't go on like this under the status quo. Got to bring the curtain down on this puppet show. No billionaire deserves that much money, you know.
Get coffee. Code Monkey, go to job. Code Monkey, have boring meeting with boring manager Rob. Rob say Code Monkey, very diligent, but his output stink. His code not functional or elegant. What do Code Monkey think? Code Monkey think maybe manager wanna write goddamn login page himself. Code Monkey not saying loud. Code Monkey not crazy, just proud. Code Monkey likes Tito's. Code Monkey likes to have a Mountain Dew. Code Monkey, very simple man, with big warm fuzzy secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you. Soda, bring you cup, bring you ice. You say no thank you for the soda, cause soda make you fat. Anyway, you busy with the telephone, no time for chat. Code Monkey have long walk back to cubicle. He sit down, pretend to work. Code Monkey not thinking so straight. Code Monkey not feeling so great. Code Monkey like Fritos. Code Monkey likes to have a Mountain Dew. Code Monkey, very simple man, with big, warm, fuzzy secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Coffee cake, take bath, take nap. This job fulfilling in creative way, such a load of crap. Code Monkey thinks someday he have everything, even pretty girl like you. Code Monkey just waiting for now. Code Monkey says someday, somehow. Code Monkey likes Fritos. Code Monkey likes to have a Mountain Dew. Code Monkey, very simple man, big warm fuzzy secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you.
Pick up your fighting spirit and greet a brand new day. You could complain, but it won't do no good. Just hold your chin up, didn't your mama say you should? A knockout cold, it was a total surprise. Didn't see it coming, didn't heed the sign. Some venomous snakes, you know they look like nice guys, but for what it's worth, there will be rebirth. TV. Another unknown story between little old you and little old me. Counting nickels and dimes, but what is it all worth? Will there be rebirth, 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 rebirth? That time can heal the pain, the troubled soul back on his feet again, like seed planted in earth. There will be rebirth.
Pedro, so we start off the second hour with Meadowlark Jivin, Living at Large, then Sam Bennett after that from Tokyo, Birmingham guy, but he's been there many years. Billionaires, Guided by Voices, Foreign Deputies, Bob Pollard, Down to Dayton, 110 records, maybe he's incredible. Foreign Deputies by, Guided by Voices, Kyle Portoroz, out of Slovenia with Tech, Code Monkey, Jonathan Colton, Gross Domestic Happiness, Mystic Weapons. Mystical Weapons has got Greg Sarnier and Sean Lennon. Claire Rockmore, which is a big theremin, in fact, protege of the Inventor Band, Summertime. And finally, I got that from Hank Rollins, Jasper Hall with Rebirth. Look. What is Meadowlark Jivin? How does this fit in with Atomic Dilemma and Ezra's Pound Cake?
Well, after Ezra's Pound Cake moved up to Colorado, and we had to, you know, seek out a new rhythm section because not the drummer wasn't willing to make the move. So we found a young gal, female drummer by the name of Audrey Dillard, and she was just so funky, you know, it was this great player. And then got another guy to move out, actually from Little Rock, to play bass with us. When one of the guys in the band, Bill, he wanted to move out east, and I didn't want to move out east, so we parted ways, and then ended up meeting a guitarist by the name of Quentin Young and playing with him, and we started Metal Arc Jive with a bass player named Jim Abraham. So that was back in 97, and Jim and I have been playing together now for 23 years.
Great. So, but this is what Metal Arc Jive consisted of.
Yeah, it's a... you know, kind of got its start when Ezra's Pancake broke up.
Right.
And, you know, we've always been interested in kind of like funk and rock and improvisation, you know, integrating some jazz into our music.
Oh, so this band is still active?
We're still active, yeah.
Okay. Did you guys ever record back then in the late 90s?
With Metal Arc Jive, yeah, we did, our first album we started it in 97.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did you record, there in Colorado?
We recorded, yeah, here in Colorado. That one, we ended up, there was a guy here in town that had a little home studio, it was pretty nice, and we started his place, and then we ended up going to UNC, which UNC and Greeley has a really good jazz school and a good studio, and recorded in their studio.
Ah. Now, you start branching out. You're more than just a singer now, right?
Yeah, I'm principal songwriter in the group, guitarist, singer, and so kind of just developing more and more of the songwriting and taking it in different directions.
So, being a band leader and being a front man, not the same thing, really, but in your case, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of worked out that way. It's been you got to wear a lot of hats.
yeah, but, okay, let me talk about the guitar. Do you like playing with another guy?
At this point, I'm mainly playing, having keyboardists or playing as trios. So, I like working with other guitarists, but, haven't been doing it for a while.
You know, I want to play this tune here called Shadow Dance. What? Awololo?
Awololo, yes.
Give me a heads up on that.
So this song, I lived in France for a few years. My wife's from France, and so she convinced me to go over there 2003 and 2006. And while I was living over there, I was in Toulouse, and I met this musician by the name of David Angot, and he's from Cameroon. And David, has a pretty rich musical history. You know, he played with Fela Kuti. He played drums with Fela Kuti with Tony Allen and did some pretty hip stuff, you know. And so he was sharing this tune, and he was singing it in his language, a dialect from Cameroon, Awololo. And as he was playing it, I said, "This is a great tune, David. Would you be cool with me putting an arrangement together and you know, kind of putting English lyrics on it?" I said, "But I want to keep that word in there, and you got to explain what that means to me." So he said, in French, "Prends le mal avec patience," which means take the difficulty in life with patience.
Okay.
So I wanted to keep that in the song.
I like that. That's words to live by. Let's listen.
Oh yeah, yeah.
seen this thing of children's hands, creating stories with no words at all. This momentary fluttering, measured by happenstance. Your life a dance of butterflies, shooting stars and rise. You might have preferred a lion's roar to sound out through the halls of time. But your life was a shadow dance, measured by happenstance. Slip through my fingers, it's time I try to describe. But something can be captured, and even old wings must ignite. Stories you told keep coming back, the details are growing thin. Reflections of things lived long ago, you raise a glass with a crooked grin. You let it go, you took that chance, in this old shadow dance. The bubble boot and the bum bum, the da 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 da. Preferred a lion's roar to sound out through the halls of time. But your life was a shadow dance, measured by happenstance. Yes, your life was a shadow dance, measured by happenstance. We're
you. Your loving is a in the dark, just you and I. Not a word, not a single sigh, just the beat of my little heart, laying here with you in the dark. In the dark, I get such a thrill when he puts his fingertips on my lips and begs me, please be still. In the dark, your show's gonna be missed. I ain't pretending, 'cause I swear it feels so good to be kissed. In the dark, in the dark, we're gonna find what all the rest have gone on and left behind. Let them go on and dance. We've got romance here in the dark.
Insert from notepad on So they hung the dinner on the doorknob. Vacuum packed little lollipop from the beloved Waco franchise restaurant. The only way to get there is by making a wrong turn. Every crowd needs an individual like you. The early worm looks before it leaves. Here's a crown for you. Mandatory clarity training. Find your commonalities, not just our common enemies. Work together to make us better and our situation.
spell. I'm learning the art of turning a phrase. Expletive with a dash of poetic feng shui, playing the working but learning the wordsmith's game.
Pedro show? Yeah, Shadow Dance. Awololo. And what's that phrase again in French?
Prends le mal avec patience.
Yeah, okay. I know mal means bad.
That's right.
A little Latin there. Brian Jasper Hull. Dan Bouchon with Everything Around. They were on the show a couple weeks ago. Great band out of Chi-Town. Betty Levette. She's got something the Verve people sent me. Romance in the Dark. And Ptolemy's got brand new. I think he's in New Mexico these days. Get together to make it better. Peter Cobalt and Damon Smith. Damon on the show last week. Peter Cobalt, incredible improviser. Reflections on April 28th, the first, I guess, reflection. And then finally, Jasper Grues Collective, Skeletons of Language. Now, the Grues Collective, how's this different from the Meadowlark Jivin'?
Well, it got its start. I started, there's a piano player here in town that used to do like a jazz jam, and a guy named Mark Sloniker, and I used to go down and sing with him, and he has a drummer, a guy named Mark Rains, and so I started to connect with Mark, you know, just when you're doing these jams regularly and talking to him. And at first I thought he was just a pure jazz guy and that was all he did. But then as I got to know him, we started talking about Frank Zappa and we started talking about, you know, all kinds of music. He's like a walking encyclopedia. And I realized that he...
Can I ask you, Bright? Isn't that what it's really about? Music is music. This genre stuff is kind of bullshit.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I feel like it all ends up coming down to the same thing. You're dealing with waves. You're dealing with, you know, frequencies that are out there. I mean, that's, you know, someone like Sun Ra would have said that, you know, the universe is made up of these frequencies, and that's what we're doing when we're playing music. So, I totally agree with you in that sense. You know, if you're a musician, you shouldn't get too hung up on what genre you're playing.
Yeah. So anyway, get back to your story. I'm sorry.
So anyhow, yeah, you know, I started reaching out to him and saying, hey, you know, I've got some tunes I've been writing. I figured it would be, you know, maybe a vehicle to do something a little different than the Meadowlark Jivin', and, you know, maybe pull in some influences, you know, just to mix it up and explore that. And so he turned out to be not only fabulous in terms of his drumming, but also as a producer, and he's great at mixing music. And so we've just been pulling in a lot of our friends, you know, to be part of the collective, and pulling in unusual instruments, like you heard the bassoon there on Skeletons of Language.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a young guy, man. He's like Joe Hofarth. He's like, you know, maybe 23 or something. I don't know exactly, but, he's a great saxophonist, but I said, man, I want you to bring that bassoon in.
Double reed. Have you been to a Barcelona?
I've only been to Barcelona one occasion, and
you know the big church, right, that they're still working on, Mr. Gaudi?
That Sagrada Familia?
Yeah. The angels aren't playing harps. They're playing bassoons.
That is so cool.
I think it's the only time... I got some pictures I took because I couldn't believe it. They're playing, but they're rocking it on this. And you know, the tops, they've got like pineapples. I mean, the interesting stuff, Mr. Gally. Also, the park, the you know, Guelph Park, and all those kinds of things. The Colonia, the little chapel he made in that worker town. And,
yeah, I need to go back to Barcelona and really spend some quality time there.
Yeah, because we use the word Gaudi as a kind of lame adjective, but the man himself actually, you know, he got hit by a streetcar and since he was dressed Econo, they thought he was homeless and let him die.
Fucked up, man.
Yeah, fucked up.
That's a tragic story.
Look, we're at the end of second hour, September 2, 2020. Special guest, Brian Jasper Hull. Hold tight for hour three. September 2, 2020, it's the third hour, the Wafra Pedro Show.
sun is sinking in the west, the cattle go down to the stream, the red wings settle in the nest. It's time for a cowboy to dream. Purple light in the canyon, that's where I long to be.
Thank you. they're putting the handcuffs on you, won't fall. And they're putting the x-rays on you, won't fall. And everything changes. And the world rearranges.
For Pedro Show, Blues for Sisyphus, Jasper Grooves Collective, and yeah, me and Brian are to discussing the Sisyphus guys, you know, the guy from the Legends and stuff, and the chutzpah, huh? Whoa.
Yeah, apparently he fooled Hades and got him talking about something. Why didn't you have Hermes send for me? Why are you coming for me? Got him. And got him answering that question and then chained him up in the process.
That's right. Watch the other hand. We had Crane after that with What a Trip. Jim McHugh with My Rifle, My Pony, and Me. That's a fucking tune for these days. And finally, Jasper Grooves Collected with One False Step. So, like, do you still do just Brian Jasper Hall songs?
I do, yeah, and I mean, I guess I kind of started calling the collective in the sense that I felt like it was becoming more of a group, you know, a group effort.
Sure.
But yeah, sometimes I'll go out and play as Brian Jasper Hall.
And then record and compose.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny, you know, it's hard to have three projects going simultaneously, but I'm sure you've had more than that.
Well, it probably ain't. Yeah, I can relate a little bit. But what I'm saying is, you don't exactly play the same role in all three projects, though, do you? You're the shot caller.
That's a good question. I mean, I'm the principal songwriter for all three projects.
So what makes them different? It's the people that make them different.
Yeah, I think it's the people, and I think when I did the Brian Jasper Hall album, maybe it was a little more rock kind of personal stuff. But yeah, I think it's the personnel mainly.
Okay, because like if you've been asked to be part of somebody else's collective or be somebody else's side man or roles like that, have you ever tried that?
I've done some of that, yeah. There's been a singer here in town. She ended up moving out to California that I worked with named Carol Frazier. And so there was a piano player, keyboard player named Walter Jenkins who was here for many years in Colorado, and I was his guitarist for at least 5 years, and that was a great experience. You know, a lot of like it's like going to school, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly what I'm talking about, because what I found out, you can't learn everything if you're always the boss.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and Walt was one of these guys that, you know, he had been out in the Frisco area. He had been, you know, rubbing elbows with people like Tower of Power and, you know, and a lot of the funk musicians of that time. And so he just brought in a ton of experience. He could tell you stories about touring with Bo Diddley and, you know, being on the tour bus, you know, drinking whiskey all day with Bo Diddley, and then Bo showing up being so hammered that he would fall down when he got on stage.
Here, I want to play some more Jasper Groove's collection.
All right.
In the beginning was a low rumbling, a subterranean rumor, a resonance gathering in the far reaches of the cosmos, splitting tectonic plates, calving glaciers, roaring like mammoth bone timpanies that pierce the Arctic silence, giving birth to the face. Om, seed syllable rang out, universally proclaiming that the low end would anchor the far-flung galactic orchestra forever and ever. In the beginning, not the word, but the ineffable, the unsayable, the undeniable vibration. And the cosmos began to feel the need to find a vessel to transmit these frequencies, to find vessels to send out the universal heartbeat. And the cosmic roll call sounded out. Charles Mingus, present. Jaco Pastorius, present. Esperanza Spalding, present. Michelle Ndegeocello, present. Ron Carter on the bass. And the bass makers pulse like the pulmonary pulse of life itself. And the low rumbling found form, and form found booties. And booties found the vibration. And the joyful shaking affirmed the oneness of the cosmic congregation. And the low were made high, and the high were made low. And the wavelengths embraced, symbiotically overthrowing all hierarchies. Which brings us to the next vehicle attuned to interplanetary travel. You see, the Sax Man is nothing less than a NASA space vehicle. His flight takes you to see the quintessential scenic overlook, with notes thrusting you weightless and euphoric until you gaze back and see the blue Earth. I'm talking about terra firma, turquoise mama, mother blue, translucent, and engines of the Sax Man's blowing lungs pouring down turbulent floods of jet stream white. This man ain't just singing about his own troubles or tribulations. His is a mind that dances on the outskirts of himself, letting his soul roam gaseous, venturing into smoky barroom corners, plunging into darkly melancholic painted eyes, magnetized by soul currents that flow in a raptured stranger's flight. A barometer of soul, thermometer of the blues, antenna of beating hearts. This man is a flying machine, played exquisitely, a veritable spaceship. Oh, how heavenly. Like dandelions arriving overnight, quietly kissing the dewy wet lawn of spring, eternal rebirth. the snare drum, rat-tat-tat, like an amazing lineup of magnolias, dogwoods, peaches, and plums. In time, all in due time, the rhythm man winning time, knows time, his seed growth and fruition, waves on shoreline touching, undulation of a woman loving, syncopation of rhythm man, rhythming, rhythm, rhythmic pit-patter of scattering flows, tumbling, kitchen sink leaking, bed spring squeaking, send folks butt naked streaking, rhythm, rhythm, yes, rhythm.
Thank you. Thank you. Gives the table to the teachers they want to. What's the reason for how the table to? Du vraiment en moi mon seul me j'ai
Thank you. Getting back to the riddles
babbling, the babbling, the babbling, the babbling. On and on and on and on and on. Nothing but nonsense, I'm feeling incensed. And they're manufacturing lies every hour, yeah, every hour.
Just because you can hear it, it don't mean you have to listen. And if they can produce it, you can't ignore it, you're a magician. Suddenly it disappears when the world stops listening. Suddenly it disappears when we turn our back on the Babylon business.
Pedro Show last music for this edition. Started off with Jasper Groove's collection doing jazz riffing in the beginning. Then we had the Groove Crater method. That's Brother Phil up at Mammoth doing 3rd of September blues. I know people, it's the 2nd of September, but Brother Phil likes to be a day ahead instead of a dollar late. And then Tenkel just 2 years ago supplying the voice for this Butoh's a kind of dancing over in Japan, and she was like the music behind it. Finn, human. Finn in French is end. So, human end. Scary. And finally, Word, Sound, and Power. Jasper Grooves Collective. Where can people find you on the internet, Brian?
So, I've got a Jasper Grooves Collective website. I think it's just www.jaspercollective.com. And then...
Brian, you should spell it. You should spell it.
So, J-A-S-P-E-R, Grooves, G-R-O-O-V-E-S, Collective, C-O-L-L-E-T.
Nope.
E-C-T-I-V-E.
That's it. .com, right?
Yes.
Okay. And people, you can get information on there. What's your plans right now and in for the future?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I feel like everything's sort of turned on its head right now with this pandemic. But I've been mainly focusing on composing right now and just hoping, you know, that we're going to see a time in the semi-near future where we can get out to playing more live.
Right. You know, I read that King Lear was written during a lockdown like 400 years ago. So, I mean... It is lame, but we got to do something, right? We don't want to sit on our hands.
Yeah, yeah, and I feel like I don't know. I've talked about this with a couple musician friends of mine, and that's sort of the one silver lining in this is we feel like we've had a chance to get creative and really focus on making the music. You know, I got a trumpet player buddy named Kirk Konufke, he's out in New York, and he's like, yeah, I'm practicing. I have the time to do it like I used to when I was in my 20s. You know, so hopefully this will turn into a real creative period, or like a flourishing of artistic energy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, try to make the most, you know, the old lemonade out of lemon thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, just trying not to, focus on, you know, at the beginning of the whole thing, you know, back in March, I was like, oh man, I just lost like 6 gigs in one day. You know, it's like, there's this side of me that was, you know, wanting to bemoan, you know, cry about it. And then I thought, you know, everyone's in this boat, you know, it's really pointless to bitch about it.
Well, as long as you're feeling a little philosophical, what about somebody younger just getting into music? Nothing to do with COVID-19, but just asking you because of you on your journey of music, what kind of advice would you have for someone like that?
Well, I think, you know, what I was talking about earlier, you know, where I found that opportunity, for example, to play with Walt Jenkins. And I think those kind of opportunities, you know, are important, you know, where you have someone that you can connect with who has a little more experience with it. And, you know, not necessarily to take lessons, although that can be definitely a good approach as well. But I think getting out and playing live is so important because, you know, I always noticed that those jams, you know, the guys that were practicing in their rooms, you know, and they might be technically good, but they tended to be like sort of hovered over themselves and not listening to what the other musicians were doing. And it's pretty crucial to have that experience where you're reacting to what the other musicians are doing. When they're making a phrase, you're commenting back, you know, and having that conversation. And so I think that can be overlooked when young musicians are getting their start.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It takes practice to be in a band. It takes practice to learn your machine, but then also to play with other cats.
Absolutely.
Brian, it's been a big honor to have you on the show and to talk about your music journey. I want to thank you so much.
It was a real pleasure getting to talk. You know, I love your music and I've been a huge fan for many years. So,
oh, you're most kind, Brian. Okay, people, September 2, 2020 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.